Into the message that I have ready for you today. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, I just want to thank you today for the opportunity that we have to hear your word. And I just ask now, Lord, that every person listening would receive exactly what you have planned for them to receive today. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're in this series, Faith in the Storm. And so if you will, as we continue that series, go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And I want to read with you again the parable that Jesus taught us about how to withstand any storm that we're in. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, I'm just going to call what Jesus said, the truths he gave us in this passage, I'm going to call it storm prep. How many know we live in Florida? We know about prepping for hurricanes. It's foolish not to do any prep if you know that a storm is coming. And so I want to give you today four truths that we've learned from Jesus about how we can withstand the storm. Here's the first thing that we learned from Jesus. It's probably my favorite one. We can be safe and secure in any storm. Did you hear that? Even though it's storming right now, you and I can be safe and secure. That's what Jesus taught us, an amazing truth. Here's the second thing that we learn. Life is full of storms, no exemptions. Listen, the wise man and the foolish man experienced the same storm. Yep. Now, while you want to use wisdom in the storm, Jesus was teaching us that even though you're wise, you might still go through the storm. So sometimes don't doubt that you don't have faith just because you're in a storm. Don't doubt that you haven't done things in a wise manner just because it's storming. Life is full of storms. But here's the third thing Jesus taught us. And that is that storms have residual effect. It's not just about the storm. We could call the storm the coronavirus. But what about all the residual storms, that the torrential rains and that the winds and that the flood waters rising cause, the physical storm? Every time we go out, we're concerned about our physical well-being. We have to think about that. There's a virus out there that is contagious, that can do harm. And then what about the financial storm? And I know that some of that financial storm may be yet to come, but Jesus said we can get through any storm. So we don't fear the storm. Now listen, we don't put our head in the sand like an ostrich and say, it's not storming, it's not storming. No, it's storming, but we're safe and secure. We know there are residual storms. How about emotional storms, anxiety, fear because of the uncertainty? Wow, and different people are at different places in the storm. The storm affects us differently. Can I just tell you this too? Just be aware that the storm you're going through, while it's all the coronavirus storm, it affects people differently. So don't expect people to do the same thing you're doing in the storm. You need to use your wisdom for the storm. But storms have residual effect. How about spiritual storms? Some people's faith is being tried. All of our faith will be tried. Here's the first truth that we learn. It's all about the foundation. Jesus taught us that the way we're going to make it through the storm is if we have the right foundation. But now, wait a minute. That means if you don't have the right foundation, Pastor Jane, you might not make it through the storm. Yeah. So you got to have the right foundation. Why do you think I'm on here? I'm telling you how to build the right foundation because I want you to make it through the storm. Now, here's what I want to look at today. I want to look at a fifth thing, or really just kind of focus in on that foundation. And Jesus, in this parable, he contrasts the wise man and the foolish man. And he describes the wise man as the person who obeys or follows his teachings, doesn't just hear them, doesn't just hear what Jesus has to say, but he does what Jesus has to say. Here's the fifth truth that I want us to focus on today. Be wise, do what he says. In fact, we could just say this, wisdom is to do what he says, to do what he tells you to. Come on now, all mamas out there and all daddies, all parents, all teachers, people in authority should love this one. If you are in a position where you're trying to lead somebody and help them and you tell them something, come on, use a little wisdom, do what we tell you to do. Be wise. Now, let's just unpack this today as I just minister to you this sermon. Be wise, do what he says. Go with me, if you will, to a story in the Gospels, and in the Gospel of John is the account of Jesus turning the water into wine. Now, let me just remind you that the Bible says that Jesus, his disciples, and his mama had been invited. Thank God for his mama being there. His mom had been invited to this wedding. And at this wedding, they ran out of wine. How many of you know that can, well, certainly doesn't compare to the physical storm we're in right now. For the host, that was a little bit of a storm, something he couldn't get himself out of. Aren't you glad Jesus can get us out of things that we might have gotten ourselves into? And so they're out of wine, and I want to pick up there, John chapter 2, verse 5. It says, but his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. Can I just stop right here and just remind you that Jesus always has your best in mind? And if you'll do what he says, you'll always experience the best, have the best possible experience in any storm. But let's just go back to what Mary, the mother of Jesus, said. Jesus or Mary told the servants, do whatever he tells you. That sounds just like the teaching of Jesus with the wise man and the foolish man. That's a powerful statement, and I think we need to just let that sink in this morning. Do whatever he tells you. Is there something the Lord has told you to do? Is there something you're supposed to be carrying out? Now, let me say this. It's foolish not to do what he says. And when we talk about doing what the Lord says, I want you to look at two things or be aware of two things. Number one, when it comes to doing what Jesus says, first of all, let's look at the written word. We need to do what Jesus has already told us to do in the Bible. Come on, some people are, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Open the Bible. Do something that he said. And if you do something that he said, it will turn out well. Do whatever he tells you to do. If we want to withstand the storm, we must do what he says. In fact, I say do what he tells you by doing what he has already told you in his word. And often the Lord has said this to me when I've been seeking him about, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, well, have you already done what I've told you to do? Because if you're not doing what I already told you to do in the Word, why would I tell you anything else to do? Because you don't do what I tell you to do. So if you want to hear more about what He wants you to do specifically, just practice doing what He's already said to do. But there is a second thing to consider when we think about this, do what He says. And that is, we need to do what He's leading us to do. The Bible speaks about being led by the Spirit of God. And we need to obey any directive that He's already given us. And maybe it's about getting up early to pray. Maybe the Lord's just been leading you, hey, spend a little bit more time with me. Stop the Netflix binging and binge on the Bible. Is that a good idea or what? You didn't even have to pay for that. No counseling fees, nothing. Come on. We could binge on some good stuff here and get our spirits full. Come on, we want to make it through the storm. Now, if there's something He is leading you to do, maybe He's leading you to call somebody that you know may be having a hard time in this storm. Simply do what He's telling you to do. In fact, you know the Nike symbol? What does the Nike symbol mean? It simply means just do it. And can I encourage you today? It's going to help you through this storm if you just do it. If you just do what Jesus said in His Word, if you just do what He's leading you to do by His Spirit. I want you to get this next statement. Sometimes we collapse in the storm, not because the storm was so powerful, but because we didn't use wisdom. There was something He told us to do to prepare for the upcoming storm, and we didn't do it. Now, thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. But also thank God that He is teaching us that if we will do what He says, we won't need so much of His mercy. Amen. And God's going to hold us accountable and responsible for where we are in our faith walk. He'll never expect you to do something out beyond where you are, but He does expect you to use the faith that you have. Let's consider this. What happens when we do what He says? I love what a pastor friend of mine says, and I use it a lot, but he says, do what He says and watch what He will do. Do what He says and then watch what He will do. I like to say it this way. When we do what He says, then He will do what only He can do. Now, see, He'll never ask us to do something that we can't do. So if He's asking you to do something, it's because Jesus, the creator of the universe, believes that you can. Amen. He believes you can do that. In fact, He'll give you the power and the help to do that. But He wants you to do that because He wants to do what only He can do. Can I ask you today, is there something that you need Jesus to do for you in this storm that only He can do? Maybe something that you need Him to do in your family, in your finances. I believe even now Jesus is going to speak something to you. Maybe remind you to do something that He already asked you to do. Maybe He'll bring something for you to do. Why? So that then He can do what only He can do. Listen, I'm going to move this over because I'm going to invite a friend up here with me, and I want you to see a story that just happened in her life. Come on up here, Dominique. She was up here singing earlier, but she's going to join me now. Dominique has a wonderful story about what God did right here in the midst of the storm. Jesus blessed you. Yes. Now, just tell them what happened 2 weeks ago.
So 2 weeks ago, I got laid off from my job. It was unexpected. They just, you know, called me in at the end of the day, said, hey, because of this pandemic and how we feel your performance has been, we're just going to let you go and good luck. And so, of course, I'm shocked. You know, this is my only source of income for my son. And so then I'm like, okay, got my stuff, got in the car and just thinking, going to pick up my son. And I just kind of paused in the parking lot like, Lord, You know what's about to happen next. I trust you. I'm not about to worry. I'm not about to be afraid. You got this. So, you know, I'm open. Now I can take a break and join this whole quarantine thing that everybody's doing, but I'm trusting you to take care of me and my son. So, you know, fast forward, I kind of take the weekend to relax and get my mind around it. And then I'm like, all right, Monday, we'll start looking for jobs. I didn't. I, you know, just kind of did some other things. But finally, Thursday, I'm like, all right, Lord, let me just sit down and just do this. And I know that you're going to open up the doors, help me find something that I can actually enjoy, that I'll be good at, that's going to provide and do even more than what my previous job did. So I applied for jobs on Thursday. This one position came up that I was, you know, really excited about, reading the description and everything. And it was in a career field that when I first moved here to Tampa, I was originally trying to get into. And so at that point, you know, I'm not getting any hits, no callbacks, no nothing. So I'm like, well, let me just try this again, you know, see what happens. And, you know, so they called that Friday, that next day, to set up an interview for Monday. I'm like, yes, I can do it. You know, thank you for the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. And so then Monday comes, the interview's in the afternoon, and it goes well. I get a call from the recruiter later on that next day, Tuesday. He said, hey, your first interview went great. We want to give you the final interview. You know, this is what day works. I'm like, well, yeah, I could do it later. It's like, let's just do Thursday. I'm like, okay, well, Thursday or Wednesday works perfect. I'm available. So I have that second interview with the hiring manager, and, you know, we're having a great time, great rapport. And she's like, all right, we'll know by tomorrow, end of day, you know, what we're going to do. So just have your phone handy, you know, be waiting for that call. So get off the interview with her. And I'm like, Lord, I'm excited about this. Hopefully, you know, if this is what you have, let your will be done. Like, I want this, but I want to make sure that you want it for me. So, you know, I'm trusting you. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't. And I'll still be looking for what you have. But hopefully we want the same thing. And so, yeah, so that next day I'm waiting all day, and, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they'll call me Monday or Friday. And so, but, you know, 5:15, I get a call like, hey, I couldn't wait. You know, we want to congratulate you. We got the job. Do you accept? I'm like, yes, I accept. Thank you. So, yeah, you know, I'm in a field that I enjoy, going to be able to help people that, you know, I really have a heart to help and make it more than what I was at my old job. So,
yes. Thank you. Wow. Now, listen, here's what I want to add to that story. What an amazing story. But can I also tell you something about Dominique? She's a single mom, and she gives regularly. Now, as pastor, I don't make it a habit of checking people's giving, but I remember a couple of months back, I just wanted to write people a note who had been giving faithfully. And so I just asked the staff to give me a list of people who give regularly. You know who a person that was at the top of the list giving regularly? This single mom. She's a giver. And I made sure, sorry, Dominique, I looked up your giving the last couple of months, been giving regularly. Now listen, she was doing as a single mom what the Lord was telling her to do in giving. She also did what the Lord told her to do and what common sense would tell you to do. Go out and fill out applications and show up, do the right thing. But listen, I want you to know that you've got to do what he says. And when you do what he says, it will turn out well. Listen, the servants that day had to do what Jesus told them to do. They had to go fill those pots with water. They had to carry that water to the master of ceremonies. That was all a part of the process of Jesus doing what he could do. They couldn't change the water into wine, but they could fill the pots with water. They could take the water and they could serve it to the master of ceremonies. Here's what we're learning. The miracle that you need in your life, it's not just about God doing his part. He'll do his part. Jesus will do his part. But it's also about us. So many times the miracle, the answer that we're waiting on is contingent upon us doing what he says. You could just say this, be wise and do what he says and it will turn out well. Wow. I love the way that the gospel reads, and when it says that they took the water to the master of ceremonies. It says that while the master of the ceremonies didn't know where the wine came from, the servants did. The servants saw that miracle. You know what? Some people may not realize why you got that job, why Dominique got that. They may not realize why you're so blessed all the time. But you know what? Always ask the Lord to show you, Lord, what did I do? Is this a result of me doing what you said? And make the connection there. Now, if this is true and everything turns out well when we do what he says, then I got a question for you. Why don't we do what he says? Why don't we do what he says? I'm going to tell you one reason why most of us don't do what he says. We don't want to look foolish. You know what? If the servants would have thought, oh, I'm going to look foolish. Now, they were servants, so, you know, part of it, they had to do this. But for our lives, we get to choose. But sometimes I think we don't want to look foolish. Well, what if I fill the water pots with water and it doesn't turn into wine? What if I step out in faith and it doesn't come to pass? Come on. Let me say this. While it's foolish not to do what he says, we often feel foolish doing what he says. You know, the Lord may have spoken something to you. Maybe, for instance, he's telling you to continue to tithe because you still have a job during this time, but you feel that would be foolish. I mean, it's so uncertain. I don't know if my job's going to be there next month or next week, and so you feel foolish. You know, maybe the Lord's told you to reach out and to minister to someone during this time that could use your help, but you feel ill-equipped. Listen, we got to get over feeling foolish, and we got to do what he says. So how do we get over feeling foolish? What's going to motivate us to do what he says? I'm glad you asked. Because I got the answer. It happens, the answer is in the next point here. You ready? Faith motivates. Come on, let me take you to this passage in John chapter 6 and verse 29. And this is Jesus's words. And it says, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. To believe in Jesus is simply just to put your faith in him, to trust in him. Here's my question. Do you believe in him? In this storm, are you believing him, Jesus, the Savior of the Word? And not only do you believe the Savior of the Word, the Savior of the world, and then you could believe in his Word, but then also do you believe in what he can do? He changed the water into wine. He did something that is literally impossible, but he did it. And so do you believe in him as Savior, as Redeemer, Healer, Provider? Do you believe in what he can do? If we believe in him and what he can do, then we will be motivated to act. Faith in him motivates us to do what he says. Mary, his mother, demonstrated her faith not only in his son. But, you know, I love my sons, but that I wouldn't be expecting them to turn water into wine. But she believed in him as the Christ. That's why Mary said, do whatever he tells you. Listen, today I'm doing or I'm saying exactly what Mary said because I believe in him. I believe in Jesus. I believe in his saving power, his healing power, his sustaining power. We could say his keeping power. And so therefore I'm telling you to do what he says. You know, sometimes I think almost every year for the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've gone white water rafting on our family vacation. And in fact, we went on one river so long that we got to know our guide. And every time we would make our reservation for a vacation, then we would ask for this guide. And I guarantee you that one of the reasons why we picked that guide is because he carried us through every rapid. Okay. Come on, choose your Savior. Choose the one that can keep you on the river when it gets rough. Believe in him. It's not his first river. Come on, it's not his first storm. And here's the other thing, though. When we go on that whitewater rafting, we listen to the guide. Sometimes he'll say, paddle. And I mean, the water's coming in the boat. Paddle? Yep. You know what? I paddle because I know that he knows more than I do. I know he's been on this river before. And the truth is that once we went down with him, then it was much easier to do what he said because he had already carried me through the river before. Listen, how many times has Jesus carried you safely through the rapids? If I can tell you too, it's just so much fun to have people here. I love preaching to you online, but it's nice to have the feedback from people here too. But now listen. Faith in him motivates us to do what he says. Choose your guide, choose your Savior wisely, and put your faith in him. Let me just remind you of this too. You got to be reminded that faith comes by hearing. If you sometimes feel, and in the midst of a storm, have experienced it myself, when a storm is raging in my life, sometimes I lose sight of him. I can lose sight of his promises. Why? Because the wind is beating on my life, beating on my emotions. The floodwaters are rising. I could see the potential damage. And so sometimes in the midst of the storm, we got to keep our faith strong. We got to remember that my faith in him and in what he can do is my motivation to do what he says. Listen, can I encourage you? Keep yourself motivated to do what he says by building your faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. What have you been hearing? We've been hearing news. And I want to challenge you to turn off the news and pick up the good news. Now, I'm not saying that you don't need to be informed. You can be informed without being overcome. You can be informed without being engrossed. And you know what? I check on what different people are saying. And out of that, I learned some things because I'm not just listening to one voice. But I'm telling you what, the voice we need to hear most in a storm is the voice of the one that can carry us through the storm. And we need to build our faith in him in the midst of every storm. So how do we do that? And I know I say this often, but I'm going to say it again. Open your Bible. Open your app and read what the Bible has to say. Storm prep. It says you can hear good news about Christ. I mean, just going back and reading that story of Jesus turning the water into wine. I mean, the time that he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead and he looked at Jairus when they came and told him, your daughter is dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, only what? He didn't say, well, I'm worried too. We'll see what God does. He said, only believe, Jairus. How about the woman who came to him with the issue of blood for 12 years? She had been struggling with that. She had spent all of her money, and yet it said she heard of Jesus. What if she hadn't heard? If she hadn't heard that he was a healer, would she have been motivated to go out in the crowd, to touch the hem of his garment? You see, the problem is not with God, and the problem is really not with you. The problem is you need to build your faith in the storm. How do we do that? We build our faith in him by reading about him, spending time with him, meditating on his promises. And meditation is nothing more than rolling a promise or truth about Jesus over and over and over and over and over. Did you get it yet? Over and over. Come on. The news reel goes over and over and over in our minds. You know, one thing that the Lord has just been speaking to me as your pastor, as a leader who's leading people through this storm, one of the things that I've been resting on, that I've been having go over and over in my mind, is I've been saying this to the Lord, to myself, I rest in the power of Christ, and the power of Christ rests on me. I rest in the power of Christ. I rest in the power of Christ to be your pastor and to open up safely, to lead, guide, and direct you. We're all coming from different places. People have different opinions, but I'm called to lead all of you. And so you know what I say to myself when it seems like, which way do I go? This voice is saying this. This member saying this. This member needs that. I rest in the power of Christ, and the power of Christ, the head of the church, the Savior, rests on me and will help me lead and guide our church, and we will be better, stronger. Wow. The Word will teach you all about Him. Be wise, live well. Let me close with this story from the Old Testament about somebody who did what he said in a very trying circumstance. I want to take you back to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. It says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Now, let me just stop here. Before we get into the rest of this story, many of you are familiar with this story, but you have to remember that the prophet doesn't go to this widow woman. And isn't it amazing? Jesus picked a single mom and to work through, to take care of. The Bible says your religion is nothing if you don't care of widows and the orphans, the fatherless. So here's God. He's taking care of this widow. And he says to Elijah, I want you to go to this city, and I want you to find this widow, and I have told her. See, now that's key. It wasn't Elijah just telling her to do this. God had already told her to provide for this. Listen, if some, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If some minister comes and tells you that God told them for you to give so much, say, God didn't tell me, and until he tells me, I ain't giving. Amen. Anyway, sorry. Now, if they're preaching the word to you, God already said it. But you understand. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in for free. I hope it didn't offend anybody. But if it did, you know, probably needed to. Anyway, here we go. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. Here's the widow. It says, but she said, well, let me just say this. Elijah comes and asks her to cook for him. It says, but she said, verse 12, but she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and oil, olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Wow. She did what he said, and it turned out well. There was a famine in the land. She's a widow with a son. She no longer has a husband, and especially in that day and age, women didn't have the freedom to go out and produce an income like they do today. And now she's a widow. She has this son, and then God sends this prophet to her, but he tells her, do what I tell you to do. She made it through the storm because she did what he told her to do. In fact, we could say this, her faith in him carried her through the storm. She relied in the only one who could carry her through the storm. She trusted that if she did what he said, that he would do what he promised that he would do. You know what? That widow needed for him to do what she couldn't do. And when she did what he told her to, he did what he said. I love the word always. Always. Listen, to make it through her storm, the widow had to do what he said. Would her house have collapsed if she hadn't done what he said? I love what he says, always enough. There was always enough for her. And listen, not only for her, but for Elijah. So you know what? God will not only take care of you, but he'll give you enough to share with someone else. That's just the way God does it. Listen, what do you need to get you through this storm? Whatever it is that you need, I just want to encourage you, be wise and do what he says. Will you bow your heads with me today as we close out this service? Lord, I just pray right now for everyone who is listening. And I pray, Lord, that as they've listened to this message, Lord, that they've also been listening to you. Lord, I believe that you've been speaking to them, directing them. And Lord, some of them, I believe that you've been calling them to you. You've been calling them to embrace you as their Savior. I pray that if there's anyone listening today that doesn't know you as their Savior, or Jesus, perhaps they've known you as their Savior, but today they feel so far away that their relationship with you is broken. Lord, draw them back to you right now. You know, today I just want to give you this invitation. If you would say to me, Pastor Jane, I don't know Jesus, but today I would like to receive salvation. I want to invite you to do that. Salvation is a free gift. The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can I invite you right now to pray this prayer with me? Or if you say, Pastor Jane, I'm out there, but I've known the Lord, but I'm far away from him. Can I invite you to pray with me today and the Lord will restore that relationship? God has never left you. Listen, can I invite you to pray right now with me? My husband is up here. He's going to be praying along with you. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my life today.
Come into my life today.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Restore me.
Restore me.
Be the Lord of my life.
Be the Lord of my life.
I believe.
I believe.
That you are God's son.
That you are God's son.
That you died for me.
That you died for me.
And that you are risen.
And you are risen.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Now listen, if you prayed that prayer today, can you do me a favor? Just send us an email at prayer@flctampa.org. Just put Jesus. Or if you're on Facebook right now watching, just in the comments, just write Jesus and we'll know that you prayed. And then tell someone that you prayed this prayer today. Listen, we are so glad that you invited us into your home, into your life today to help you get through the storm. Next week, we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day. Be back with us online. Then May 17th, we will reopen to everyone. And don't forget our drive-through prayer and food drop off today. God bless you.